Good afternoon. The title of the sermonette today is Language and Limitation. This came about when I was trying to think of words to describe God and the creation that we see and the sheer size and beauty of the universe. What words could we use? Magnificent, stunning, wonderful, great, astonishing, fantastic, marvellous, extraordinary, terrific, fabulous, superb, incredible, phenomenal, gorgeous, sublime, tremendous, sensational, stupendous, miraculous, stunning, and out of this world. What about awe-inspiring? That's a little nearer, I would suggest. But all of those words I've just read out fall very far short of describing the creation of the great God and his creation. Our language is limited, but that's just fact. And when someone describes a beef burger or a meal as awesome, that very definitely reduces the power and impact of the word itself. I recall being in a shop here in the USA a few years ago, and I bought a small toy for our Chihuahua. It cost about $6, and I took it to the till, and the young shop assistant said, "Awesome!" I had to hide my smile. One writer, a theoretical cosmologist, put it this way: would you try to cross the South Pole wearing only flip-flops? Or row across the Atlantic on an inflatable swimming pool? Or describe the beauty and mystery of the universe using only the most common 1,000 words in English? He then goes on to say, while the international language of science today is English, we have to recall that in some sense, this is just a translation. Fundamentally, the universe speaks to us through the language of mathematics, as Galileo is reported to have first stated. What is language? It is a means of communication. The thought in your mind is then translated into speech and uttered via the vocal cords. And the hearer hears the words that are being spoken. And the mind digests and hopefully understands what is being said. Unfortunately, all too often, because of double meanings, of intonation, different levels of understanding, what is said may at times be misconstrued and problems can occur. And that is just the basic level of one language. But when translations are involved, the problems can multiply. There can be no doubt that God has limited man's overall ability in many ways at this time. And even so, man does have a very inflated sense of his own importance and ability. We know that even after less than 1,700 years of man being placed on the earth, that the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth and was grieved in his heart, as we read in Genesis 6. Man had hardly got started, and yet he was destroyed in the flood. Since then, man has gone the same way, the way of Satan. One of many ways in which man has been limited is undoubtedly in his use of language. In whatever language, the ability to describe God and everything about him and all that he has done and is doing will be limited by the fact that we are human and our understanding and vocabulary is therefore very limited. We are limited, but God is not. One writer claimed that every biblical reference to the total number of angels suggests that they're beyond counting. But as the creator of all, God would know how many he created and their names. God knows all the stars by name, as we can see in Psalm 147, verse 4. From the website space.com, we read, "The number of the stars in the universe is really unknown, since every time we look deeper into space, we find still more stars." David Kornreich, an astronomer at Ithaca College in New York, has given an estimate of the known stars in the universe. He used a very rough estimate of 10 trillion galaxies in the universe. Multiplying that by the Milky Way's estimated 100 billion stars results in a very large number indeed. One followed by 24 zeros after it. One septillion in the American numbering system, one quadrillion in the European system. Kornreich emphasized that number is likely a gross underestimation, as more detailed looks at the universe will show even more galaxies. How could we ever have language that could show how stupendous all of this is? I use the word stupendous because it is just about the best that I can think of or come up with as a human being, but it is obviously grossly inadequate. All of our best attempts to describe God and his great might and power are limited by our human condition. Let us read Luke 12, verse 7. Luke 12, verse 7. It says, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." How do you find words to describe such fantastic information? We know that God is omniscient. He knows all things. God is omnipresent. He is everywhere through the power of his Holy Spirit. God is omnipotent, all-powerful. God is perfection. Mankind, on the other hand, is very human, weak and fallible. Let us read the might of the great God in Job 26. If you'll turn to Job 26, and let us read verses 7 to 14. Job 26, starting in verse 7. "He stretches out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. He binds up the water in his thick clouds, yet the clouds are not broken under it. He covers the face of his throne and spreads his cloud over it. He drew a circular horizon on the face of the waters at the boundary of light and darkness. The pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his rebuke. He stirs up the sea with his power, and by his understanding he breaks up the storm. By his spirit he adorned the heavens, his hand piercing the fleeing serpent. Indeed, these are the mere edges of his ways, and how small a whisper we hear of him. But the thunder of his power, who can understand?" We read such fantastic things here, and this is so that we can understand it today. However, there are no words great enough to describe how great are all of these things. Our adjectives are so limited today, but one day that limitation will be lifted from us and we will be able to worship God as a member of his family in a way that is impossible today because we, as human beings, are so limited. If you turn to Isaiah 55, verse 9, we find that this is proved by reading this verse. Isaiah 55, verse 9. It says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's exactly right. Everything about God is on a far higher plane than we can ever imagine right now. Another writer penned the following, quoting a well-known piece of scripture. "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." And that is Romans 1, verse 20. He goes on to say, "Notice that the physical world shows his invisible attributes. By looking at the world and the universe, we can get an inkling of the incredible power and glory of God. The earth is a truly incredible place. First, it is exactly the right distance from the sun. Next, Earth's atmosphere is designed to maintain temperatures that allow for human existence. At the top of this atmosphere sits a layer of ozone that filters out most of the harmful ultraviolet light radiated from the sun. Additionally, our atmosphere contains a specific ratio of gases that allow life to exist here on Earth. And consider our sun. It is an amazingly powerful source of energy. Without the sun, Earth would be a dark, desolate place. According to NASA, during a single second, the sun converts 4 million tons of matter into pure energy. That's about equal to 90 billion megatons every second. The entire power generating capacity of the Earth equals about 60,000 megatons per year. So in 1 second, the sun produces over a million years worth of energy of the Earth. And that was from that gentleman from the University of Wisconsin. Think of the power the sun puts out compared to what man can do with our puny nuclear plants. God has so much more power than we can ever imagine. And we simply don't have the expansive language currently that can remotely, even remotely, describe the greatness of God. We are truly limited at this time because of our humanity. As one other writer put it, language is ambiguous. Language does not provide words for every concept. Language is not understood uniformly. And language is poor at communicating emotions. And that is at the human level now. Neither the English language, the German, French, Spanish or Greek language, nor any other language in the world today will be the language in the wonderful world tomorrow. Every language today is imperfect, but that will change. God is going to restore to the nations a pure language so that they may all call upon his name and serve him with unity of purpose. There are certainly thousands of languages in the world today, but not one of them is a pure language. All of that will change with the return of Jesus Christ when he sets up the kingdom of God on earth, that which we know when we keep the Feast of Tabernacles pictures it in type. What language will it be that God establishes during the 1,000 years rule of the kingdom of God on earth? Perhaps it could well be the original language given to Adam and Eve at the beginning, because it does say restore. That may well be more than a hint, but God does tell us that it will be a pure language, and that's all we need to know at this time. And it will be a language that, unlike today, will be without any limitations whatsoever.